Thank you, TJ, and wow, thank you so much for the time in worship this morning already. I pray that it is a preparation for you before we go to the Word, the things that we are singing unto the Lord. These words have so much meaning, and I will say it's a joy to be able to sit there and sing. I love being able to be up here, but I just would like to say, just in the times, be able to sit in the audience and sing with my family. I just tell you how thankful I am for the team that puts forward not only the songs, but puts forth the practice and everything that goes into it. And all the intention, I know, all the heart is so that when we come in here, we have a Lord and Savior who knows every thought, every intention of our heart, and He wants us to come before Him in praise. So it is just a beautiful thing. So thank you. And so today is Mother's Day, and I'm going to get my computer up and going here in a second. You know how there's probably all kinds of passwords that you've got from your home to your work and everything else. And I am pleased to be able to bring the Word to you this morning. And I want to say on behalf of all the leadership, and I mean this, we have a sincere reason to thank God for all the mothers in our church. Amen. It has been such a great testimony, and I mean that. It has been a testimony to our eyes to see the work of Christ through you. It's not as if we look out and we see all of our mothers and say, these are the best mothers. We look out and we see this is a great God that is not only moving you, that is working within your life, and that you are looking for Christ to receive the glory. And I mean that. We see it and it causes, obviously it causes joy because it's strength in Christ. We certainly know because, especially if we have in our own families, we certainly know there's always struggles, right? We know those things. We know that it's not an easy task. But I want you to know that it has become evident not only to us but to so many that Christ is being exalted. And I will also just say thank you so much for the ladies' ministry that go on within our church on a week-by-week basis and some of the teachings and the classes, but amongst each other, I continue to elevate Christ. And so my prayer this morning is this, with my message, is really that this would encourage our mothers to continue to seek Christ in your ministry. I mean it in that particular way. I pray that as you walk out of here, you say it is defined and you understand that you have a ministry. And I pray that when you leave, you're thinking, I am going to continue to seek Christ. You won't see us at any point finding any other means than Christ Himself to fulfill our ministry. So to do that, what I would like to do is just to let you know kind of where we're going this morning. So you have kind of a starting and a stop point, so you know about where we're at. And so a basic outline, if you're taking notes this morning, is I want you to know, mothers, where you find truth. I want you to know what God has designed in the position for mothers, God's resource for mothers, and God's glory defined for mothers. And in doing that, what we're going to do is we're going to look over Titus chapter 1, verse 10 through 2, verse 14. So I want you to go ahead and please make your way to Titus chapter 1. Will be the focal point of our passage this morning. I will admit, while you're turning there, when you think about the position of mothers in Scripture, it is really, it's filled, and there's so many different places in which we could turn. And in my studies, there were obviously multiple scripture verses that I reached back out to, but I found myself a few times coming back within a framework of Titus chapter 1, verse 10 through 2:14. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay some of these points out for you as we just read through it, and then hopefully as we work through the message this morning is that it will become more and more clear to you why we're springing out of Titus chapter 1. The first part is going to be where mothers find truth. And you'll see that it starts with really in the opposite. Titus 1 verse 10 says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. But as for you, speak these things which are proper for sound doctrine." The next section will be, I want you to see that God has a design for mothers. And you're going to just see that a mother's position is listed amongst many others that God has given to us. But we're going to read verses 2 through verse 10. It says, "That the older women be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that the one who is the opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." Now the last point, the last two, is going to be God's resource for mothers and God's glory defined for mothers, which we will look from verses 11 through 14. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that we might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." The first point, where mothers find truth. I want you to know that I believe that the world has a very limited view on how to honor mothers. The best the world has to honor moms is pretty much pleasantries. The things that you find, and probably some of which you've provided, they're flowers, they're jewelry, candles, lotions, kind words, and all kinds of other similar items. And I want you to know something. I'm not saying those things are wrong at all. I think they're good, and I think they should be valued. I'm just convinced that they're not the highest form of honor. You take a young mom who is giving every ounce of her energy, and you give her a nice card and some flowers, and you even give her a break, and she will be encouraged. But her soul
needs more. The world doesn't have anything more. It's tapped out. That's all it really has to offer. I have found myself looking to provide some of those pleasantries because I wanted to. Just yesterday, don't judge me for being at last minute. And I found a gentleman as I'm waiting to check out. He walks in the store. It's very much clearly, I won't tell you what store it is, but it's very clearly a store for ladies. He walks through the door. I don't know how he made his presence so known, but it was clear. He came in and just said, "Do you have any gift baskets?" And they're like, "Well, we have one that was kind of prepared. He's looking for prepared gift baskets." He sees the one, and it certainly was not maybe centered around Mother's Day. He sees that, and he realizes that's not it. So he looks at the lady and says, "Can you make one for me?" He just says, "Just can you fill it with some different things?" He's just this desperate look on this guy's face. Doesn't know. He just knows he's in a store with many things and like, "Give me help. Let me figure this out because I know I need something to present." He wanted. His heart was probably right. I don't know this guy. I'm not completely judging by no means. But that's about what they have to offer. In Titus chapter 1, what we see is that in relationship to the world system, it will hear from God in a sense, but it is so limited. And really, there's some strong words in here that they try to subvert whole households. I'm going to read back through these verses, and I want you to just focus on some of the words that are really a warning to us to realize that we can't go to the world to define strength and honor for our moms. And that the world has a system. The world clearly has a system which it will teach moms of this is what your life should look like. The warning really is found in the text. So I'm going to read it and just point you back. It says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision whose mouths must be stopped." They're speaking. There must be a counter argument. There must be some truth that comes out against what is being said. "Who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain." An example that they give in verse 12 is one of them, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore," it says, "rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith." See, it is a rebuke unto bringing them into sound faith and sound instruction. Listen to this. "Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled," listen, if you're going to look to the world, those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. "But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." Moms, the first thing I would have to say is, if you turn to the world, you're looking towards fables. You're looking to the commandments of men and women in which they have created some type of order and some type of system. They really have turned from truth because they didn't have truth to begin with. Their mind and the conscience is actually, as it says, the conscience, the thought process, understand this. It's not as if I'm just saying, stand up here and say, the whole world, well, maybe in the text, the whole world is evil, but understand that their ability to think is already defiled. It's not like we have a good system in which God has given to us and the world has a close and good system in itself. No, the world system, as defined by God, is defiled. And they profess to know God, but listen to this, and their works, they deny Him. We know as we get more and more towards the end times that things are going to look good. There are so many works in which the world, and I would just say Satan himself is at the center of trying to make some works look really good until you carry them all the way out and find out something. They actually deny who God is.
which means that puts us in a position of disobedience. And that's not enough. It disqualifies us for every good work. Here's what I know about moms. And I will say this about almost all mothers, believers or unbelievers. Here's what I know. They want to do a good job. I believe that's a characteristic, I say, on some level of something that God, when He created moms, He put within them. We can even see in the a lot of the animal world in itself, He's created moms how to care for their own, right? I think moms want to do a good job. If you look towards truth outside of Christ, it can disqualify you for every good work. It may be work, but that may not be defined by God as good. And so certainly I would want you to know just right up front is if there's any thought process, or I will say there already is a thought process. You are being trained all the time by the world. Evaluate the world's system. Be willing to sit down. Evaluate how the world has instructed you. Don't be scared of doing that. Call it out for what it is. Pray for discernment for what you're hearing and what you see. And then you're going to know that you have a position to turn to. You have, as a believer, and I'm speaking to believers. If you're an unbeliever, I'd pray that you would see the gospel in today's message. But you have the truth that has been defined unto you. You know where you can find truth. As a matter of fact, God, when we think about all relationships, He's created them all and He's defined how He should be glorified through them. And it's a huge concern of the church. Matter of fact, if you look at the church even in itself, of what the church is called to be, hopefully some words are that you think through these words. Is that the world has nothing to offer, but the church is called to be the pillar and the ground of truth, isn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 3. There's a transition in 1 Timothy, I believe, and it's pretty close to this section. Because then after this, he really is going to send a lot of very clear instructions. He's set up the leadership within the church, and he's going to start telling the church what it should look like. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I delay, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." The church has been given the task to be the pillar and the ground of the truth into this world. It does not mean that the truth originates from us, but we are to define to the world what Christ has delivered to us in His Word and say, this is the basis of truth. Period. It's one of the greatest things that Christ, one of the greatest works that He's given to us. And I want you to know, in the Shepherd's Church, I want you to know, as I started out in saying, thank you, moms, for what you're doing, that is the work. Believe it or not, when we look into our own church and say, thank you for the work you're doing, the world itself is watching you. And we know that the authority being given to the church is to be the pillar and the ground of truth. And when you think about truth, it is what we believe in. So hopefully you know, in being involved in a church, that we want everything to center around the Word, that the Word must become central in our church. I want you to know how strong it speaks to relationships. And for this morning, moms, I want you to know how much it wants to encourage you and give you clarity of how to live out your position. Let me just do this for a second with you. Let me just let you understand this. For today's message, when you take your position that God has created you, I'm just trying to elevate it as high as I can. I'm trying to elevate it as high as we possibly can, because when Titus, a pastoral epistle, and Timothy were written, he went into, here's what the church should look like, and then guess what? He's going to include you, moms.
He's going to drill in on your position. And so that means it must be pretty important. Certainly it talks about leadership. It talks about things in which we should be teaching and tells us this is what our conduct should look like. So that's found in 1 Timothy. In Titus, just to stick, I'm going to try for my time to stick very, very close and to limit. Hopefully I can do all this in the time period we have. But even in Titus itself, when he's giving these things that are happening with the church, he goes on in verse 1, "But as for you, speak things which are proper for sound doctrine." Right? Everybody, I think, would want to say, I want to know sound doctrine. Moms, today some sound doctrine for you. It's going to go in, and it says, right after that, you're thinking, which I can tell you the way, just on a side note, listen, I love that we've been through Hebrews already. What a solid book. I love we're in the middle of Romans right now. There are so many foundational things that if you will, to the depths of who Christ is and the things that we're learning right now in the middle of Romans is just huge. Deep doctrines. I love them. These doctrines are just as important for us to understand. He goes right in, teach sound doctrine. And he says that older women be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women likewise, that they may be reverent, behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, and that they may admonish the young women. I want you to see that God has a design for mothers. He's created this position. When we get down and we read, first of all, of the older women teaching, you get to a portion where clearly in the context of this text, you've got, again, you have older women, you've got the younger women, you've got young men, you've got older men, you've got bondservants, you have all these positions. Let me just, big picture, and you'll say, well, Nathan, please, can you get on to something that makes a little bit more depth? Listen to this. I want you to just think for a second. It is a created position. Meaning when God created us, He created us male and female for reasons. Now, I could go really far to the side here. We've got a lot to preach about that in our day and time, don't we? So much to be taught. So much to be instructed. Understand, everything we go back to is a foundation to the way in which God has created us. And so moms, you're not just a byproduct. It is the wisdom of God as He looked into the family unit and He says, I am going to create you specifically for the home. He is going to design you. He's going to give you even what I say is like, and I guess it's okay to, it's like supernatural abilities here. You have the ability to carry a child. That wigged me out multiple times. It's strange at different times, especially when the babies start moving around in there and you're just thinking, or as you're talking to your next one, hey, you're in there, and you're talking to your next child. Maybe you didn't do that. I did it all the time. I was excited. But it was weird. Supernatural. One of the greatest miracles in which most people, believers or unbelievers, will even say, is the birth process. It's an amazing thing. God can do things in all different ways. God is God. He can make all different things happen. In the wisdom of our God, I think sometimes we shorten our understanding of Him by not thinking through some of the basic things. And this is not a very basic one. Moms, you've been created to bear children. And in that already, it sets even in, there's a duration and a time period of which you're containing those children. They're growing within you and you're nurturing and you're providing for them. It's an amazing privilege and a bond. Even as they come out and the mom continues to provide for her own children, it is something that God has created you for. And I want you to know that. And I want you to know very specifically, this is where
if I could turn to all different scriptures, I would just want to send you for this reason, for this morning, for time's sake. Here's what I want you to do. If He created you, where is the realms in which He created you to carry out your work? Moms, I want you to know that one of the things He's created and given you the great ability to do is you have a position with the home. Guys, on Father's Day, if we're doing a Father's Day message, trust me, you're going to see you have positions and a calling. God, as He created the relationship between male and female, and He set forth the home, He gave certain tasks and responsibilities. And even within our text, we start to see that. That's just evident just in Titus, because it says that they admonish the young women, listen to this, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Just one section of Scripture would start to define God has an intention for you. We're not getting into all the different ways in which that looks like. If you read in Proverbs 31, you're going to see a woman who does all kinds of things within her home and outside of her home. But make no mistake, you must, if you want to turn from the world system, or if you're going to listen to the world, if you want to turn, then you're going to look that God is going to take you and He's going to put you in the context of your home. That's why you're a mom. And He's going to do that so well in so many different spots. And it's probably not the only, this is just one. I just want you to hear this. It's in Proverbs 1. I'll just read verse 8 and 9. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornament around your neck and chains about your neck." God has created you in this function. And it's also where you get this title of mom, because you have children. That's next. I want you to understand, that's not only a position that you've been created in, for you to think through that position. If you scan through and you look at, if you look up scriptures that say mothers, or you look for scriptures for moms and those kind of things, what you're going to see is in a lot of them, it is a position to be honored. Just do your own word search. You're going to look throughout scriptures and find your defining role, and then you're going to find a lot of scripture says, now honor this position. I want you to think of, why is that so important? Let's just start out with this. Every mom wants it as well, right? To your children, if you're going to say, children, you better honor me. You better respect me. You want to be able to see those things happening. Well, I want you to see that Christ Himself, in creating the position, think about it, that He put you in a position of honor, not that you've just somehow pushed your way into it. Not how somehow you've just said, it's my position, so you better honor me. What you have is God created you for this, and then He established your authority. He elevated you to a position of honor. He put you in the spot to where it is right and good for the children to look towards you as well as their fathers, but to say, I'm going to honor you and know why that is going to happen. And this isn't just something new. This is found out through Scripture. This goes back a long ways. Again, because it's created order, but many of you may already know what it says in the Ten Commandments. But since it's so well known to you, let's just reestablish it. Exodus chapter 20 says this in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I think every good mother I've been, and even halfway good mother, wants her children to be safe. It'd really be defined as a bad mother if they saw their children running out towards the road and did nothing about it, right? Like, what kind of, we would probably say, man, how is that even possible? It's an internal instinct, isn't it? Of protecting your children. Your children are protected, and they will learn if you teach them how to honor you. Understand, there is a commandment at the very beginning to the children as well that is related to their ability to continue in this world with some measure of safety, some measure of prolonging those days. And that's just the bare minimum of just thinking about that as far as them being able to live within this time which God has given to them. But it sets up that the mother has been established at this position by God for this reason. You don't need to fight for this position. You need to declare it through the work of the one that put you there. You are ambassador for Christ. If you are sent by your work to go somewhere and do some business on behalf of some of your business or your occupation, or if you go even further, you could think that you are sent by the United States to go into another country and to be someone who is a representative for us and to make sure that things happen on our behalf. You could start, if you could kind of process that, then just carry that way beyond that and think that God Himself has put you in this position in sending you out forward with authority and a position for your children to learn how to honor you, which in doing that, they would see that the connection is as because God has put you there. Your children would be pointed unto the Lord. And so you could glance again through so many different sections, again, scripture after scripture, but if you want, we're just going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. It's amazing through all these generations, all this time. This is what I love about God. Especially on things that are really important to Him. You know what He does? He keeps them very clear and to the point. We try to mess it up all different ways. Over and over and over again. From generation to generation to generation. From the time in which He established it, all the way through into the New Testament, even now. The Word says in Ephesians 6, says, children, obey your parents, listen to this, in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It is right for our children to honor you. And if you struggle at any point where there is an absence of obedience, ensure that they are struggling with their authority to the Word of God. Use your appointed position by the King who has appointed you, and use the means of the Word by which to call your children into line. It has more power than anything you could ever do. And you will instruct them and you will train them of who they're honoring. And you will help them to see, even when they're dishonoring, if they're dishonoring unto you, it's a dishonor unto the Lord. And so I would ask you again, is to think through and work through so that you would not only leave here, but in your own time between you and Christ, that you would be elevated to a position of honor, humbly, knowing that you've been put there. It's a great place to be by God. And it's a great position in which you hold. And God takes it very serious. Just think of how much that God works on your behalf. You ever had were your kids. I want to kind of stay away from some examples. I've always been told it's good not to use your own family, so I'll do that. But I'm sure you've probably had situations in which you're trying to work with your children, all of a sudden just something comes up and it's like laid in your lap. It's like, this is perfect, right? You're just like, you know there's something that needs to be worked on. You know that you see what's going on, you see the child and what they're struggling with, and then it's kind of as if it's been brought to you in such a way, it's like been just delivered, like, I know how to deal with this. It's different than the times when they hit you off guard and you're just like, I'm just so frustrated, just leave me alone. These are times in which you're in control and you know. Those times, if you know what's going on and your spirit is discerning, I know their hearts, I know their struggle, and I know the answer. That's so much a work of God. And let me tell you something. He wants to do that all the time. It's not limited times. He wants to do this for you all the time because he's put you in this position. He's placed you there for a reason. And so it's a beautiful position of honor. It's also, as he's designed you, he's endowed you with attributes. In other words, when he's created you in this way, it's not just that he's created moms and just said, go and hope that you can learn. He's actually worked within you certain attributes. And our text itself says one, or very many different words, but one of them is a very strong one. It is love. One of the great things about a mom is that she follows after the Lord as she realizes that love is present. Love is within the heart. Love causes us to do all kinds of things when it again is reflective of the love of Christ. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that has direction. It's a love that has truth. It has a love even that brings unity to the family because it comes from the attribute that God has put in you. The reason I want you to know that is because as you look to even in Titus where it gives the command, right? It says do it to young women to have this position, to love their husbands, to love their children. That's an attribute. Don't think this. Well, of course it is. I'm just a loving person. And of course I love my kids. Think about it through this perspective. Christ can teach me and cause me to love them with an affection that looks like the affection of Christ unto us. Think through that with me for a second. It is an affection and a love that looks like the way that Christ loves us. If you know where we're at in Romans, we're starting to go through sections where before the foundation of the world, and God loved us first, didn't he? He operated towards us when we were still what? There's that word. Dadgummit. Yep, there's that word. Why we were yet sinners. Unworthy of any love of his. He did not look at us. Grasp this. He did not look at us and see some certain qualities in us that said, I love you. You're doing such a great job. I love you. I love you more now because you've been more obedient unto me. Because you followed after me. And you got up with your coffee and you read the Bible with me this morning. He didn't look down and say, these are things I see within you. He says, this is my character. And I'm going to press it within your soul. It is a love that says, I love the unlovable. And then there's all kinds of actions that line up with that type of love. It certainly doesn't mean do whatever you want. It has so many conditions. There's so many things in which God has worked with us to show us what his love looks like. Well, when you hear the instruction as a mom to love their children, again, define it with the world standard of love. Well, bow on your knees before your a loving Savior, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, learn from Him what love looks like, and then look back toward your children. Now you have something. Now you have a context. Because when they do the wrong thing over and over again, when they disobey you right after you just told them what to do, when your own heart, quite honestly, and I say honest with you, you have to be honest with me this morning, but there are times that a mother's love can even be strained and pushed to the brink because she's hurting. Understand that the love of Christ defines how to move forward. You must find yourself in prayer and before your Lord and Savior, searching for what that love looks like. And then you may find a great amount of instruction and great amount of encouragement, because it may, again, what it will do if you look towards the love of Christ, it has the ability to pull the family unit together and pull you back and put forth again what is right before your own family. So we could talk about times in which we don't do this. And listen, moms, I didn't know where I was going to work this in. I just want to say to every mom, and every dad knows the same thing, we have not become perfected, right? We know that. I think at this stage, I'm already realizing I probably have some regrets. And there's probably some things I look down at my kids sometimes, and there's been those moments in which they've done something, I'm like, yep, that's my fault. Yep, should have done that one a little better. Shouldn't have encouraged that. That times, I don't know how many times, our kids learn from our sinful attitudes or actions. They learn all kinds of things from us. When we talk about loving them, let's just help them understand that it's a love of Christ. That, again, not thinking that we have perfect love for them, but Christ has perfect love for us, and then we can turn that perfect love into them. Study it. Learn what that means through Scripture. I must move on, but that is a point I wanted to spend some time with. God has resources for mothers. So really, just leaving out the section, let me just say, in the middle of Titus, just framework within our text, all I wanted to say is Titus has some instruction to mothers. I would almost, in my nature, I would want to just drill down to each one of those things that it says to you ladies. Just understand that is there, and you've got plenty of resource to go back to that. I just want you to see that it is a position there, because I wanted you to see some other things in a broader picture as well before we closed out. So the next one I wanted you to know is, not only does it define your position, not only does it give you instruction about how He's created you, and wanted you to see of where resources are for you. It is a lack of understanding if the church doesn't teach our moms where resources come from. Because you know why? Because they're being sucked out of you. I don't know any mom that's not having resources literally feel like they're pulled out of you. It's sleepless nights. I mean, God trains us very early. I don't know why, again, it sets it up this way. Why does God design the hardest time you're ever going to have, and He mixes in the sleeplessness? Do you understand that He's created us that way? The child comes out. Your whole world is changing. All your thoughts, you don't know what you're going to do. They're sending you out of the hospital. And God says, oh yeah, by the way, you're not going to sleep. How do I deal with this? My resources are being pulled from me. All I know is that I don't have enough sleep and enough coffee. You don't want to be around me. Weakness. How has God created us in weakness? How has He put us in positions of weakness in our flesh to compel us to pull you pulled unto His resources? He wants to suck every bit of your own resources away from you. And if you think, or if you study the world system, it's going to give you places of resources and places of rest. It's going to tell you you deserve this and you deserve that. And when the family becomes difficult, it's going to tell you you don't deserve this. Moms, you must know where your resource comes from. I beg and I plead with you, because if you don't, you will dry up. You have not been created to sustain yourself. It is by out of every word that gives us life for the soul. We live by the word. It is a resource. And Titus makes it very clear. He goes on and says in verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself with his own special people, zealous for good works." When you are at a loss for resources, here's where we're going to go. I just want you to have one section of scripture. You could start back. I really just read all of Titus, but you could start at verse 10, read through. And when you hit verse 11, here's what's going to happen. If you read it enough in those moments where you're looking for resource, it's going to 11 through 14 are just going to be like thundering punches of God's truth of resources into your life that completely come from him. It is fuel for the soul. It is instruction for how you can continue to go on, because it speaks so clearly about the work of what Christ has done. So let me just say this. The resource, the first one I just want to say is in there in the text is grace. Undeserved. It's not only just undeserved favor with God, just it comes from a position that comes from God. Let me define a little better for you. One short verse, John chapter 1, verse 14. Where do you get grace? John 1 and verse 14 says this. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father." And it says, "full of grace and truth." You got to love that. Is that Christ is in the position in your world as being seen as the resource of grace. Christ himself. So when you're, again, resource, I don't know what to do. Well, what is the grace of God on your own life, and how can you communicate the grace of God into the situation in which you find yourself? How could you communicate grace? How could you understand? How could you think? How could you see the grace of God that is being brought, that brings, and there's a grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it says this, and I'm back in Titus. It says, teaching us, listen, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. It's by the grace of God that brings salvation. Listen to that. And everything is a gospel situation in the home. We're teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a God of grace, and it says, listen, denying ungodliness. I'm denying it. That's in your own soul, and also the souls in which you're ministering unto, right? You're looking for them to turn from ungodliness and worldly lust. We get it. Something happens in your world, and it becomes very, very difficult and very, very obvious. Worldly lust are there. Teaches you to go away from that, but to live soberly and righteously and godliness in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, listen to this, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. You are looking for grace and you're looking for redemption. Again, you know why? Because you're not going to do it right. Okay? Moms? You're not going to do it right every time. What are you looking for? I am being set apart for Christ. I want to be redeemed. I need my Lord and Savior to redeem what I just messed up. And I don't even want to just use the negative connotations, but I just know that those things come up. So you need to think, what do I do now? Before those things happen, you can think, I have been put in this position to redeem the moment. Well, how do I do that? insert whatever you want to. Little Billy just swung the bat around and knocked so-and-so in the face. And you're thinking, oh man, what do I do? I want to redeem what is now happening, and I want the work of Christ to do a redemption work in my own soul and the souls of the ones in which I'm ministering unto. And Christ has the power to do it in any circumstance. It's a redeeming work. Also, it says that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself. Purity's got to be in there. Listen, your resource, you have a resource of being purified by your Lord and Savior. You have a resource in that. Understand this. He is purifying you. We talk about, wasn't long, we were talking about the other night about, we were talking about the vine. And of course, the vine, he prunes, he cuts things off, right? Hey, look, this needs to be cut off. That's starting to hinder you a little bit. You know how he lets that known? In the area of your ministry. You know how he reveals things in your life? In the areas of your ministry. You know one of those main areas of your ministry is as a mom? Now you're probably getting there with me. It's in your home, isn't it? What's he teaching you? Well, let me tell you about my kids. It's not what he's trying to teach you, is it? He's trying to teach us. He's just purifying us. He's cutting those things away. When we want to hold on to those things, now we have a problem. But what he wants to do is purify us and present us back into himself. What a great place for this to happen. I wish I could take all the connections of resources in the family unit, because guess what? You're not alone in the family unit when it's functioning correctly. Now you have the children doing what is right. It's supposed to be honoring God. You have the husbands that are doing right and what's supposed to be honoring God. You have all the instructions. You have the church. You have so many resources being poured into you. But all I will say, every single one of them comes from a resource of Jesus Christ in your life. And he's working for grace, redemption, and he's working to purify you. Last point. God's glory defined from others. I will go through these somewhat quick for our time. And mainly in our text, I think stems a lot from making us zealous for good works. He doesn't mean zealous for, hey, you did a good job. There's nothing wrong with us encouraging one another when we're doing good jobs, but zealous for good works, his works. We're zealous for those things. We want to see the work of Christ come out. God's glory has been defined in your home by the work of Christ. When you can point to your home and say, this is the work of Christ, God's glory is being defined. Right now, we've been praying for different things related to our building and our space and things like that. We've met on Wednesday. We've been talking about that. We're going to point towards, this is what we want you to know and what we want everybody to know. This is what we see God doing. We're going to want to glorify God in that process. Hopefully, you won't want us to come to you and say, hey, look, we finally figured this out. In your home, same approach. God, here's what I have. Define these issues. Now, God, I'm looking to define your work in my home. Thank you for what you've done here. Thank you for what you've done here. Thank you for your work in this part. Define the work of Christ and give him the glory for it. It also has to be defined by the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're going to look at the work of Christ, it is defined by the gospel. All interactions, everything in what you're doing, moms, is related to the gospel. Again, for time, hopefully you get that point. Be glad to talk to you some more. I'm mainly working towards this very last one, and so that we can close out. And hopefully you can get these points and understand them. But I want you to know they're defined by time. Let me explain that. When God wants to be glorified, and you as being a mom, is there certain things that he understands are in time and in space? He talks about older women and younger women. Different instructions to both of them, isn't it? Is there a certain time period in which God's glory is shown and intended to be shown in those time periods? Is there something unique about the time in which your kids are in your home? Absolutely. God defines that period of time for you. He defines your ministry within that time. It's not as if you don't continue within your ministry in your children's lives, but there is very specific things that God is intending to happen during the time in which your kids are at home. Psalm 78 is a perfect one. You can turn there later. And just as a note, you can put that down. Psalm 78 is a great way for you to study and learn a section of how to glorify God through the testimonies of what He's done in your home. But there is a defined time in which He is intending for you to understand this is a time to glorify me. Again, do you know what the world says? What does the world say about teenagers? And at some point, the world starts to say, don't worry, they're going to be going home. They're going to be leaving soon. That sickens me. What a lack of understanding. Again, it sickens me because they just don't understand truth, do they? That's all they have. Remember, they tapped out. They don't have anything else. Teenagers are difficult. Can't wait for them to leave. Your defined time period has been defined by Christ in your home. And believe it or not, it is short. And it's worth every bit of your energy. You do a great job. And you make sure you glorify. You're going to have this opportunity to glorify God during that time period. It's going to look different than other times. You'll still be glorifying God through other means. But there's something specific about the time has given to glorify God in the home. The last one, defined by eternity. Moms, when you read about what's going to happen in eternity, we have revelations that gives us some inclinations. There's a lot of things that we may not fully understand, but if you see something happening in Revelation that is given to us by instruction about some things that will be going on, we need to take notice of those things. I was asked after getting ready for a funeral service at one time from the funeral director. A lady asked, what is it like in heaven? Well, in some regards, in relationship, we learn what it's like in heaven, how we relate to God now. Let me make the point for you. If you know that in heaven we will be glorifying God over and over and over and over and over again, and He is sufficient for that, do you not anticipate that God would want to be teaching you how to do that now? Would what you're learning how to glorify Him now look like what you would present to Him in glory? These flowers, I don't mind picking one out. God has created roses. One of the most, I guess many would say, one of the most beautiful flowers in which He has created it. But He created that flower. And I just want you to think in a sense, in a little bit, as every kid is going to, at least not every kid, will run out of flowers. One flower for each mom is going to be picked up by I don't know who. I don't know how you're going to make that decision in your own home. Maybe they all grab it together. But kids, after the service, one flower goes to each mom to thank her for the work in which you've been doing, for what God has created you to be able to do. And we want to say thank you for what you're doing with that. But if that could represent what God has, again, been created for you to do, and He's put all these things in your life, what do you do with that? What do you do with the praise that comes to you on Mother's Day? Let me read Revelations chapter 4. Verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. And listen to this, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power,
For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. In eternity, we will take whatever crown you think you have, and you will cast it before His feet and declare what is right to be said. And thankfully, in the heavens, we will only make the right declarations, but that He is worthy to receive the glory and honor and power because He created all things. And by your will, they exist and were created. You were created, moms. You were created. God has put you in a position of honor. Your children, your home hopefully honors you and looks towards you. When you receive that, what are you going to do with it? God, I cast it before you because you are so sufficient. You not only created me, but by your will, I exist. By your will, I exist. My day has purpose. Moms, be encouraged. You have so many things that are working in your life to glorify God. Be encouraged knowing that He has given us truth. Church, be purposeful about doing exactly what the Scripture has called us to do. Teach, admonish, lead, encourage older to younger and younger to even to younger as you just interacting and putting forth the Word as being seen as essential. If there are any moms who are here today that have never accepted Jesus Christ, if this encourages you as well, like this is pretty awesome. The God of the universe created my position and I'm missing out on all the opportunities. Man, what a time to give your life to Christ. To say, I'm going to learn and I want to know how to serve Christ. But I want you to understand this. Look at it as a form of repentance, because anything, if you subvert the truth, and if you live a life away from Christ, then it is just taking what God is creating and trying to twist it. So I would just encourage you to come to Christ today. Moms that have, I'm going to pray for us in closing that you can present and you can give God the glory for what He has given to you in your life. Father, we come to you. And I do ask for all of our moms here is that, Father, that they just see their extension. And as we close out, that they would cast everything in what you've given and lay it before you, knowing that you've created them this way and that they exist because of you. Father, in all the areas that if there is any area in which they have not or are not submitting unto you, then Father, give them the right encouragement to do just that. Help them to see that there is a different path and a different way of living their life than what the world has to say. But Father, you've given them a great instruction. And you've given all these things that their joy may be full. It is not to make things just harder on them. It is only to give them joy. And I pray that their joy is even excited as they go out of here, knowing that you're their loving Lord. And you are doing so many things on their behalf that they at times don't even recognize. Father, make us point ourselves back to you more clearly. Thank you for the time which you've given to us on this day to elevate you and the lives of our mothers. Amen. Amen.